I have to take my cook along. That's got pliers and everything in it. Well, say, do you think of any last thing we ought to take?
Well, I've just enjoyed meeting her and having her out here so much. I just wish she'd come out and stay with us some.
Yes, I do too. That would be nice.
Yes, I do. I wish she could do that.
We'd introduce her to all this, these animals out here, these calves and colts. And
mm-hmm. Yes, I was saying, she's been walking around looking at long-legged colts.
That would take her back, wouldn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All the grass is coming out now so fast.
When the Kingdom Hall is open down here, I hope you people, good people, will go down and listen to the talks and everything, because it is closer to the end than what we really can realize.
You think so?
Yes, it has to be. And then you see, you notice particularly now in the last month, well, in fact, since Nixon's talk that he gave over the radio, not TV, but radio, he set up a plan for permanent peace.
Yeah.
In 1 Thessalonians, I think it says, when they say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
In Thessalonians.
And he, have you had the book, Then Is Finished, The Mystery of God?
Mm-mm.
That was put out last year. That takes up the first 13 chapters of Revelation. And your Revelation has been a book that hasn't been understood very well, and all Bible scholars have been studying it. Well, now it's much better understood. And in his talk, a couple of sisters there, they listened to it, and when he was through, she went right to that book and found in that book where his talk was given, what it was on. And he has set forth the plans for the nations to unite together, communist as well as non-communist, and to make a unity of nations. And he said that any nation or organization that wouldn't join in would be cut off. And let me go and get my Bible.
Get it, yeah.
In here.
Yes.
Now, my company, I like the way they operate because they put a man on the field, and he drives 600 to 700 miles a day. He's got the best automobile money can buy, air conditioned, power, all the trimmings.
Yeah.
Well, that's well and good. So you've been behaving yourself?
Yes and no. I can't get loose much. I sort of tied down.
Right.
I had hoped that there'd been some reason for you to drop down, but it hadn't been long since you were here, has it?
I was here back in November. You know when Pop passed away? It's November 11th.
Yeah. And time passes so fast.
Oh, it just gets away just like that. Mhm.
And you're at it all the time.
Oh yeah, that's right. Mhm.
You know, it's a shame, that Mabel didn't have a few more years. She's needed.
That's right, she needed one. Mm-hmm.
She's needed. She has that quality that few people have anymore, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Where she can talk and people listen to her. And she, I don't know, I call it a sort of public life. I don't mean run for office.
No, I understand.
She lives a sort of public life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We just don't produce them that way anymore.
That's very true. Mm-hmm.
I don't know them, you see. I can't tell very much. I don't know them, of course, like you do. But Fel and Mabel were so different.
So much different.
But the things that one could do, the other couldn't do.
Well, the universe is made that way. You got positive and negative everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
sir. Now, what causes creation? I can't answer that part. Who put the North Pole up there and the South Pole down there? Yes, so much different. But they both had a certain something, a quality there that nobody else has had, not to my knowledge. And they could just certainly get to you in a certain, in their own way, each one of them in their own way.
Yeah.
It's just like that child licking that lollipop, he goes back for some more.
Yeah. And they hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
They just hit it off beautiful.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Just beautiful. Yes, that's, now you see, not that way at all, but Fel would tell a little experience and the name didn't come to him and Mabel would remember it.
Right, she told him the empty spots.
They were right there, you see, they saw it in the same terms or something or other. I don't know what it is. Yes, sir.
Guy, do you have an ashtray laying around somewhere?
Yes, sir. Use that right there, that saucer.
Oh, excuse me. Right. You know, you get away from the polluted town of Atlanta, mm-hmm. it's fine.
You got
it? Oh, yeah, I have everything regular out here. You get out here in the country, you breathe a few breaths of fresh air, and you feel like a different person. You might think you're tired, and then all of a sudden you're rested
up.
Yes. Because up in Atlanta with the riff-raff and the hustle and bustle and what have you.
Yeah, it's constant.
It just wears you down before you get started.
Yeah.
And this goes on day in and day out. You people are very fortunate down here, you know it?
Yeah.
You're very fortunate.
Yeah. As long as it lasts.
Get you back down here.
The trouble is, you don't know how long it's going to last anywhere now, do you?
Well, I tell you what, if I was sitting out here like you are, I would not worry about it. I'd enjoy every minute I possibly could.
Yeah.
Because when I come down to this part of the country, I thoroughly enjoy every breath of fresh air that I take. Believe you me, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Around it, Fel always have a lot of on-hangers, a lot of people that he worked along with. Now, I noticed after he got up here at the university, he found places for a lot of people and things like that.
You know what, guy? He's found a place for everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Including a stray cat or a stray animal, he found a place for it. He had that certain touch. I've never heard him use a curse word or raise his voice as long as I've known him. And he could find a nigger young one, or a cat, a stray dog, or what have you, he'd take it home to you.
Is that right?
And the people, he'd reach in his pocket. He always kept a little money hid from Mabel, because Mabel liked to spend money.
Oh,
she did.
Isn't that something?
But you know what? I can think back. I saw the man with $20,000 in his pocket. Cash money.
Yeah.
And he bought a sawmill. This is up in Folkestone, Waitrose, Georgia. Which was it? It's been a good long time ago, though. And so the next weekend, I went up to see him. And he wanted to borrow $20 from me. And I took it as a joke. I thought he was kidding.
Yeah.
He was not kidding. To buy groceries with.
Is that right?
That's right. And when he said it to me, he always kidded around quite a bit. I just ignored him entirely.
Yeah.
A few minutes, he says, are you going to let me have that $20 or not? I says, Pop, you kidding me. Don't try it. You pulling my leg. He said, I'm not. I ain't got no groceries in the house. And back then, I was in a CC camp making $45 a month, I think. But I always had kept some in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure. Because money hadn't meant anything to me in life anyway, except for the convenience, you see.
Yeah.
And I gave it to him. I said, I'm trying to put two and two together. I said, nah, that man cannot. I said, $20,000 back then was like $150,000
today.
So I gave him $20 and I forgot all about the doggone thing. He called me up. Wouldn't know when I was coming up there to get my $20. He said, if you're not coming up there, I'm coming down there. He said, you don't have that kind of money to throw away.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't throw away, it's for good use. So you said, that's as simple as that. But that's the kind of person, he had so many qualities, a so terrific guy that only time will bring those things out.
Yeah. And he looks so ordinary.
So simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know the old saying in life, you cannot deviate from simplicity. That goes with character people. Anything you do.
Yeah.
Well, I think he does anything.
Now, Mabel liked to spend money, but he didn't.
Well, he went along with Mabel, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Oh.
But see, now Mabel, she'd sneak around and find his money. But he kept a little bit back in reserve, especially after he got these grandkids.
Yeah.
And Paul, you know, having the trouble with the speech and what have you, she could go to him and put her arms around his neck and kiss him. And damn, if he couldn't find $20, he didn't have a dime in his pocket, he could find 20 bucks for that child. Now, that's one thing he and I had. That one $20 is the only money they ever exchanged hands between Pop and I, as long as I know. We have never discussed finances or financial problems or anything else. Never have.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thought this was unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
But he always made a good living.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, he kept plenty of cooks in that house too.
Yeah.
And on the weekend, 15, 20, 25 kids up there, people, make them a pallet, sleep on the floor. But them groceries were there.
Yeah.
Now, Mabel cook up groceries. Now, she's a good cook on certain things, but very wasteful.
Oh.
Oh, yes. She'd cook up a chicken and maybe throw 2/3 of it away. For me, man, if I got chicken left over, I'll put it in the deep freeze and I'll make chicken salad, I'll make everything. Because I can take a dime, I can stretch it as far as most people can, $10.
Yeah.
Because I was brought up that way, the hard way.
Yeah.
But Pop put so much stuff on the table to her, and he worked hard. He worked real hard. He left it up to her to do whatever she wanted to. He couldn't fry an egg, couldn't make a cup of coffee, nothing.
Yeah.
But those qualities he had were very deep, I think, for that guy.
He could do anything.
Yes, he could.
But he never let on.
No.
Very seldom.
One day I was kidding him, I said, Pop, I'm broke. You got any money? He says, I got more money than cows got guts. How much you need? And I knew he didn't have a dime to his name. I said, let me see your billfold. He said, I don't think that's any of your damn business, what I got in my billfold.
Well, now, he had money sometimes, and then sometimes he just flat broke.
Right, right.
And that went with the business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. He moved up into, what's the name of the place just south of Jackson? Bayard. He moved in there, and that's when he sold out his place up in Kingsland, around Pocono Swamp. And moved into Bayard and bought up how many thousands of acres and out of timber he bought up, I forget. I don't remember this point. But he bought all these trucks, equipment, what have you. He had a small motel as it went back at that time. He just moved into the motel. He rent these rooms and whatnot, and he and maybe just moved in there, and he lost his pants on that thing.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. See, let's cut the speculation in that
mm-hmm.
time. In comes the floods and what have you, and the water was this deep. Couldn't get in there to get the timber. And he had a contract to have this timber out a certain period of time. He didn't get it out. But he could walk into the bank with his smooth line of talking in his infant face. And he could get $10,000, $20,000 for no other man. Without all kinds of assets, couldn't get it.
Hmm.
He could get it, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the stories that I remember he told, and I got him to tell it again.
And you don't miss a word.
When he was 16 years old and went up to Atlanta and bought that shingle machine.
Yeah, right. And I'll tell you what motel he stayed in, too. He can tell you about the Healy building there, about old man Healy.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I know this is true is because I had an office in that building for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he can tell you right down the line. His memory's amazing. And it was up until he passed away. And in fact, before he passed away, his memory got sharper.
Yeah.
Extremely sharp.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
When he was 16, he walked in and talked to the head man, I forget, Moresby or something, made all that milk for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he let him have a single machine and shipped it down there for him. And he didn't have a nickel.
Right.
Now, there was something about the man, of course, he talked well.
Oh, yes.
And he knew how to handle it and showed it, you know, from the way he talked. So now that would take him a good ways, wouldn't it?
That will take him a long ways.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with his powers of... He learned just from looking, couldn't he?
With his power of speech and power of personality, and the way the thing guy in my line of thinking is look at a man's eyes, his lips, and his hands when he's talking.
Yeah.
To get the sincere and the quality from him. And that man, I have come to his house many times at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, have a cup of coffee, some cold collard greens or turnip greens and cornbread, and sit there and talk till daylight.
Yeah.
And that voice is so smooth and so beautiful.
Yeah.
That you couldn't miss a word he said.
Yeah.
Because he was not the repetitious type to repeat things. Everything was something different each time.
Yeah.
And so therefore, any person interested in life or human beings could not possibly get bored with him.
Yeah.
Or not that I could see.
It's Suzanne, she wants to sleep in the trailer at night.
Oh, really?
Thank you. I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the young lady we met down here for the last time, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And all those years of talk. Mabel was pretty hard-headed.
Yes, she was rather hard-headed, and for this particular reason, shouldn't say put it that way. There's many people resented the friendship between Pop and I, and Mabel was one of them. She's a little bit jealous about that thing because we would be talking. Whether she thought, I don't think her line of thought ran in the same direction as his and mine, but she did not want he and I to get off together at any time. Lord, did she raise hell about that.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I would go off hunting or fishing, or out on the farm, on the tractor, or in the pickup truck, it didn't matter, sit out and watch the cattle,
uh-huh.
And just sit down and talk, just keep on, and we forgot about time entirely.
Yeah.
Now, was the time element involved? I don't know where it was at, or the friendship, or whatnot, but we'd come in, and she'd swell up like an old toad frog.
Yeah. Well, I noticed, you see, Mabel talks so well. I could have just put the tape on over there and just, but she wouldn't talk for the tape. Phil didn't care.
No, he didn't care. See, people have a certain fear. Now, she brought out this thing about the tape with me, and, you know, certain people just like, these people can't even talk on a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get a microphone, and they know this is being recorded, and they just freeze. Or so, what it is, I don't know, because I've never been that way.
And, now, when she was talking about the Holy Roller business, she didn't object.
Mm-hmm.
She'd talk of that and just look right straight at the tape.
Oh, yes.
But when she started talking about ordinary things,
never did anything.
There wasn't anything private about it. She wasn't doing it. And it wasn't the content. Of course, she didn't realize that. She didn't have the critical intelligence for that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the content of it. It was her manner.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and her personality and all like that that you got in her speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. It wasn't what she said.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to sit over there, and I just hated to see all that good talk go.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally, the fail got so he'd go off with me, and we'd sit and talk for half an hour. But it wasn't like talking over there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't care about saying, paid a bit of attention to the tape.
Mm-hmm.
But I never said that much. He talked better over there, you see, than he did when he was somewhere else.
Well, that's very true. That's very true.
And I couldn't work through anybody in the family. I didn't know the others, and Juanita isn't what you'd call a trusting soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't work through her.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd had someone to work through, you see, I could have got so much fine, beautiful talk.
Guy, if I could have known you a few years back, because I can get Pop and set him down in his lounge chair over a cup of coffee,
uh-huh.
and I can just bring up a few things that he has discussed years ago.
Yeah.
And he gets into these things and he starts a new series of speeches. This is where I could have brought out all of these different things to you.
Yeah.
There's been no problem. There's been no problem. I let him into all these things.
Yeah.
Because I like to hear his voice and the way he expressed himself.
Yeah.
And I'd lead him into this because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'd be in kind of a bad mood and I'd sling some stuff at him. And, oh, just in a petty thing like you would a kid.
Yeah.
But I get his mind off of that. Sometimes I'd be halfway sarcastic to him.
Yeah.
He'd look at me in the eye. He didn't quite, but he'd get off in that spiel.
Yeah.
And I'd lead him right in that, and this would go on for hours.
Yeah.
Go on for hours.
Yeah. Now that's something, isn't it?
I don't know if I told you the last time I was down here, I bought his last fishing license for him down in Crystal River. Paul and Monique was living down at Crystal River at that time, and they only had the one baby, and that was Mary, the one that's married to Willie Geiger. And I believe I'm correct on this. Maybe they had the twins. I don't remember this point. But anyway, I went down, and I was with Pop's getting kind of well up in years. And we went out to, got up real early in the morning, about 5 o'clock, go down to the fishing pier, and we got a little rowboat with two oars, and that was it. And I told Mama, I said, well, me and Pop's going fishing. I said, you know what, I'm going to buy him his last fishing license. That's when he was 65. After 65 in Florida, you don't have to buy one. So she said, all right, well, y'all hurry up and get on back. I said, okay, we will. And God, we got up at daylight, went to the fishing place and got us some bait. And we got out there in the boat, and you got fresh and salt water intermingling, so you get fresh and salt water fish. And we sat out there and fishing with a nigger line and the casting rod, and we were talking. One thing from another, right on. And so we were catching fish too, enjoying every bit of it. And Pop did like to catch fish. And time went on and on and on. We carried no lunch with us, no nothing. All we had was cigarettes, period. I said, Pop, you know it's getting dark. I said, let's see how many fish we got. We had a dish pan about this. I said, I think we got almost enough fish for supper. I said, you know what? We haven't eaten all day long. You know what? He said, the hell with you. We don't need food anyway. And so that's one day that our guy, if you could have had a recording of that particular day,
yeah.
I guess we discussed everything in life, including his background, mine, and just things in general.
Yeah.
Just ordinary, just plain people, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But we pulled back in up the pier. He stretched a leg. He says, damn, you know, I'm tired. I said, you're not too tired to eat fish, are you? He said, hell no, I'm never too tired to eat fish. So we go back up there, got our fish, and we dumped them into the thing there, and go around the house, and man, Mom is mad as she could be. She'd been just raising Cain all day long, fighting with Paul and Monique, where's Ralph and Falcon? Now, this is something she couldn't stand.
Yeah.
They don't know. We didn't care. We didn't worry about anybody in the sun.
Yeah.
So she blew up and this and that and the other. And I told the woman, I said, just get the frying pan on. I didn't pay attention to Mom at all.
Yeah.
Let her blow a stack. Let her get this good far.
Yeah.
So he and I got out there and started cleaning fish. And we cleaned most of those fish. And we had, and Wanda, she started cooking fish and hush puppies and what else. We had a platter about this big.
Yeah.
And Juanita, my mom wouldn't eat fish. No, she didn't want any fish. It wasn't good or this and that. No, she had to have a hamburger or something like that. Me and Pop, we eat anything. But she says, Phil, you can't eat that. It's bad for your heart. He says, Mabel, get off my damn back. He says, I've been fishing all day long. I caught these fish. I've cleaned them, and I'm going to eat them. Whether you like it or not, just go in the other room. But
she put out with it.
Yeah, but he said it with a... with a smile in his eyes, but he made it very strong, and she knew that thing, too. We sat there, Guy, and we ate fish, and we ate fish, and we had a sack of bones on each one of our plates about this big.
Yeah.
And he said, now, see that, Mabel? Fish ain't gonna hurt nobody's heart. It's all in your mind.
Well, where did Phil get that iron disposition, and or... when he said it, he smiled, but he meant it. Where did he get that? Always had it?
I believe, now, working niggers and whatnot around the sawmills. And when he told him one time, he meant that thing and he didn't raise his voice.
Yeah.
And I think, in fact, I know he just about maybe killed a couple of them. And the word got around in a hurry.
Yeah.
And when he said something, he meant that thing. He said,
but his voice was soft.
Soft as could be.
But he still carried that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Quality.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's very amazing, yeah.
That is amazing.
He didn't raise his voice at all. Didn't scream at anybody.
Oh, he cracked me every now and then, and I
could
tell when he.
Sure.
I could tell when I got cracked or not.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Faye?
Yeah.
I think she's run errands.
Yeah. She's just been absolutely challenged. Let me see if I can find one of
this is one of my young friends.
We don't care about that, Faye.
I know it. The flashlight. You have to have more flashlights out here.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you always hear the crickets and the frogs croaking.
Yeah.
That's good. That's real good.
Sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear them right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's marvelous.
He could cut it, he could put it in his voice and make it sound very pleasant, but you knew that he meant it.
Very much so, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Saturday, the 9th of November. You don't handle anything. Just use office tapes.
How's that guy?
Well, I tell you, I never really put my mind to it, but I don't. I guess I don't because I don't think in those terms at all.
Well,
you just use office. You don't fool with tape recorders. I mean, you have. Do you use office tapes?
That's right.
In it.
We have a
disc. Because he would never play this, you see, for anybody.
Yeah, it's not
but I can understand, Guy, what he's trying to do on this thing. And it's just like hitting a brick wall every time you turn around. Because people do misconstrue it.
Yeah.
Because I know.
Think he's trying to.
Yeah. Because I know Mabel made a couple of remarks. And,
yeah.
And I said, well, I didn't say it because at the time it's when it fell.
Sure.
So I understood on this thing. But Guy, in fact, I'm gonna have to run because if I don't, I won't get out.
Well,
of here.
Well, we appreciate your coming, and
this has been a pleasure.
I would have come up there, except you had we've got a little bit more quiet out here. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, it was just sort of our benefit. You know, we were real fun with these two.
I know.
And Guy certainly, bless his heart, he was there with Mabel a great deal.
I understand he fed at the hospital, and she'd eat for him when nobody else.
Yeah.
That's great.
She couldn't put up with that.
Very few days that he wasn't there.
It was
this, I think I noticed about every time he's been in the hospital. See, I've been in real close contact with him. Wanya and the kids and Mary. And also Mom when she's in the hospital. Because I talked to her a couple of times. She was all doped up. And
yeah.
I could feel, because knowing her so well, and the way her mind was operating, I could tell her mind was slipping.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because she was going back into time and she'd bring out certain things. And I said, this is not like her because her mind is too brilliant. And so what I did, just sit, see, I got a watch line up there and I just call in where I want to and that's cost anything at all. So one time I talked to her, I guess 45 minutes, just let her talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's everybody just slips up, you see. One of the main industries over at Williston is that hospital, and about all they do over there is dig your grave.
Mm-hmm.
But they know the doctors over there. I don't think Mabel's ever had proper, any real medical care.
Never, not to my knowledge. Little Jimmy Daly over there, I don't know if you know him or not, I didn't know that kid since this. He or she has gone to him on a few minor ailments, but other than that, she's never had any problem.
Well, she's had this trouble over, you know, but I don't think he would recommend coming to him about these things, but that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went on so long. So, I guess, you see, you got both sides of it. You got that marvelous old home remedies where people doctor themselves, and it's a marvelous thing. Except, you see, it doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that your virtues are your undoing.
Mm-hmm.
I got so out here, you see, if I mash my toe, I run into the emergency room. Just to see what I've done to it.
Listen, Guy, I'm going to have to get going. Because I have enjoyed it, Guy, and Faye, and I just wish I could sit here and just talk to you right on and on because I enjoy every word you have to say.
I think you've done that well.
As tired as you are and everything, I think it's noble of you to come out.
We're
going
to have to run an errand for you
to
let us know.
I don't think there'll be an errand. Well, I can run. Me and somebody around here can run.
Yeah.
crickets, what more can you get?
You know, came about those cows being used in, all that stuff.
Them cows will take care of themselves out there. There's enough grass out there. They'll survive. Don't worry about them cows. How many fish have you caught out of your life?
I don't fish.
Well, you missed them in crickets.
That's too many cows.
But the cows will wait till I stand where they're hooked. Learn how to catch them big fish. It's fun. You enjoy it.
You know, I never did fish.
A lot more like you, a lot more than you realize.
Well, you never know.
No.
Nothing to say this time.
No. I don't know.
What is what?
He's a dead tired, he said, you know.
Well, I don't think he's dead.
And
but he's used to being tired.
Juanita sparked him, too, before, you know. They got together, reminiscing, you know. They sparked each other.
Well, he didn't, after he got up there, you see, he had that watch line, he could have called me and talked about all these things, but he never did. And, you see, the only talk he did that was interesting was about the CCC. And that was nice.
Yeah.
But that was all.
Well, now this is about 500 or 600. Channel One Right. The end of the visit with Ralph. This, Saturday night, bedtime, the 27th of February, 1971. I guess this is the end of it. This is all that's left. I'll check back and see. This is around 600, say, 500 or 600. Channel One Right, and on the other side is Leola Wicks. Ralph, the Saturday night, the 27th of February, 1971.